Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Work Trends with Megan and Biro. Whether you're here to network, learn, or share, we want you to have fun. During this live broadcast and Twitter chat, we'll discuss the future of work with smart and entertaining guests who value today's business and its impact on the world of work for the future. Stay tuned, because we start in 3, 2, 1.
Happy holidays, everyone. It's Megan and Vero. I'm back from San Francisco and Carmel by the Sea. Wow, it's a reality check. All of my friends and clients and all you people out there in California, you're very lucky. You get nice weather year-round. You get beautiful beaches. I go to San Francisco, as many of you know, on a pretty regular basis, but had never been to Carmel by the Sea. So we took a road trip there, and I was just blown away. It was my first time at Big Sur. Catch my pics over at Instagram, by the way, at Megan and Biro, if you want to hang out with me over there, and you can see some fun stuff. So listen, thanks for being here. I don't know about you. This is an evergreen topic for the community, servant leadership. I'm going to just wear my political hat for a minute and say, yay, Alabama. I was really excited about that win last night. I think, you know, the people spoke and people weighed in. So these are clearly very interesting times. And I don't care what side of the political spectrum you're on, obviously. These are just really important times to discuss this. So we are talking about servant leadership today. This is a well-worn title. I'm very aware of that. I've been blogging about leadership for, my gosh, I think almost 9 years now. But there's people who still don't understand what it means, let alone carry the mission in their everyday role as a leader. But today, we have a thought leader, a real thought leader on this topic. And he's going to help us navigate this ever-important topic and discover how we can learn the ins and outs of being just this. Art Barter is here with me today, hailing from San Diego, of all lovely places. He is the CEO of the Servant Leadership Institute. They are an organization that helps people and organizations put servant leadership into practice. He's also a CEO and cultural architect of Datron World Communications, Inc., a company he grew from $10 million, get this, everybody, to $200 million in sales by putting into practice of servant leadership. His latest book is The Servant Leadership Journal. Welcome, Art. It's great to have you here today.
Megan, great to be here with you. Thank you so much for having us. And, you know, before we talked before the show, we talked, and you didn't tell me you were in Carmel, so I'm really jealous now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Be jealous. And, wow, that place just blew me away. It just, everything from the scenic landscape to that kind of Hollywood vibe that's there. I got to hang out at the Mission Ranch, which is pretty cool, by the way, if anyone's going to be going there. Great sunset, great jazz. I'm a huge jazz fan, and they've got wonderful music there. So I will definitely be going back, no question about it. And you're in San Diego, you lucky guy.
San Diego, I don't want to rub it in too much because I don't know where a lot of your folks are, but if you're in the snow right now, we feel for you. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah, we're in it. We're here in I'm here in Cambridge, Mass, and we've got just a little incy-bincy bit of snow here, but we'll be getting more, believe me. This is New England winter. So, listen, you know, let's start with this question. Why is servant leadership so important in the modern workplace, and what has pushed it to the front of the line as an initiative right now, in your opinion?
Well, you know, you mentioned the political landscape, and in today's environment, it seems like we can't agree to disagree anymore. There's a lot of emotions and things.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's tough to build trust in that environment. It's tough to trust people and their motives. I think for us, the timing is so right for a different mindset in leadership. In that, you know, we as leaders, we need to get results. And as a CEO of a manufacturing company that does business around the world, I still have to get results regardless of the type of culture I have. But in today's workplace, especially with the new emerging leaders we have coming up, how we get those results is more important than getting the results to the new workplace. And people are looking for purpose in their lives. They're looking for things that make a difference in the world. And so people are focused in how do you do what you do and why you do it. And obviously you get results. But in today's world, people are looking at, I want to change because I've been either used by companies to make money. I've had to sacrifice my families for my work. And people at all levels in organizations we talk to, and I'm talking from top leaders throughout the entire organization, they're looking for something better because what we're doing right now isn't working. And one of the surveys I look at that Gallup does is the confidence level Americans have in their institutions, which is a reflection of leadership. And, you know, large businesses have a very, very low confidence level. The lowest rated confidence level we have is in Congress. They have less than a 8% confidence level.
Dismal.
In the latest.
It's so, just dismal.
No,
yeah.
No surprise. Some people tell me it's too high at 8%.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
We have people
I
who are like, cool.
Hey, Art, you and I talked about this a little bit, not to interrupt you, but you and I talked in the green room a little bit about this whole topic of servant leadership. I was foolish enough when I began as a professional blogger many, many, what feels like many years ago, thinking that things were going to change. And I'm like, I am still here this year, and it's more pressing than ever. And I thought, foolish me, and foolish people, you know, in the community who thought somehow this was going to change. To me, I feel like we've gone backwards even. Really,
yeah, you know,
fun.
When we look at other countries who are moving forward with servant leadership principles, and a lot of the people in this world, their business is growing faster outside the United States than it is inside the United States.
Yeah.
And when I ask why, they say, you know what, we're not hurting enough yet from the leadership malpractice that we're experiencing. And when we hurt enough, that's when people are going to want to change and have that desire to change. And I will tell you, there's a lot of great servant leaders in the United States today that want to help people change. And we can't do
it through... Well, thank you for that.
We can't do it through our words. We have to do it through our behaviors. And
yeah,
that's
absolutely.
The U.S. is we have to behave in the way that we believe we should be as leaders, not just talk it. And that's the challenge.
Hey, Art.
Yes.
Help us out. Tell us more about who Art Barter is. Like, what are you? How do you spend your time? What led you to be interested in SLI? And just talk to us a little bit about Datron and, you know, where you're spending your time right now. I think people would be curious a little bit about your career path.
Yep. I'm CEO of Datron World Communications. We do military tactical communications, and I get asked all the time, Art, how on earth do you take servant leadership into a military world? And here's the stories I tell them. In every country I do business with, I talk to leaders in military organizations and civil organizations, and they want to be able to deal with disturbances in their country with good communications and not with bullets. And I go, those are the type of leaders we want to help them who want to add value. And one of our countries we did a lot of business with, and it was Zimbabwe, and they just went through a leadership change in the president, and they did it with very little violence because they believe there that doing it without violence is the right way to do it. And we
Smart.
Went in, I spent time there back in the late 90s, early 2000s, helping them put in the communication systems that helped them deal with situations with great communications and not with bullets. And
wow.
So that's, I've been in the power, I've been in corporate positions most of my career, came up in finance and operations. I love to build things. That was built with me early in my career, but I worked for public companies where it was all about, what are you going to do for me this quarter? How much are you going to report in revenue, profits, et cetera? And in 2003, I met Ken Blanchard for the first time personally, and he spoke about leadership.
Yep.
And he challenged me in my leadership belief, and he said, if you really believe what you believe, and we were talking about faith, he says, then you have to be a servant leader. And no one had ever challenged me that way before in my leadership beliefs. And Ken, at the he wrote most of his books. He wasn't a believer. But he challenged us, and I remember the night I met him, I said, Ken, did you bring any books to sell? And he says, I didn't come here to sell books. I came here to teach. And I thought, here's a gentleman to add value. So he started my in 2003. In 2004, I was involved in a Department of Justice investigation. We were part of a large corporation here in San Diego that was being bought out. And in the due diligence, there were people who thought we were bribing foreign officials to get business. And
It turned
out to be true. We came in and investigated us, looked at everything we did for 5 years. And at the end, what happened was the acquiring company saw a weakness in the valuation and wanted a better price for the deal. And they were willing to throw me and my Trump world under the bus and in the trash to a better price for the deal. I went, this is wrong. And that year, I came out of that year and I said, you know what, if I get a chance to buy the company, I'm going to buy it, and we're going to lead it with servant-led principles, because I'm never going to put employees through that again. And so we bought the company in late 2004, and in 2005 started the journey into servant leadership. And we trained ourselves. We looked for training material that would help us train our people on how to implement. We couldn't find anything in the marketplace. We found a lot of people teaching about servant leadership, but not a lot of implementers. And so we developed our own training where we focus on helping people transform themselves. Then we help the team transform, and then we take what we've learned and put it to work. And everybody in our company gets trained about 45 hours in servant leadership training, the same material across the board. And once we got
everybody, huh? No,
everybody.
No one's excluded in that? Okay.
Nobody's excluded. Everyone gets trained. And we saw amazing growth. We set records in revenue growth, profits, cash flow. And the interesting part is my second year as owner, my staff wanted to know how much you want to grow. I said, I'm never going to tell you how much we want to grow. I want you to serve your customer and take care of your customer and let the customer decide how fast we're going to grow with his checkbook. And that's the approach they want. We let the customer decide how fast we're going to grow. And our goal is to help take care of the customer and serve the customer, meet them where they are. So Ken got me started in servant leadership. The following year, my corporate life was horrible and was accused of things I didn't do. We were found innocent. And that's when I said, enough's enough of the corporate power world. I want to change. I want to do something different. And got serious.
Good for you.
Great relationship with Ken Blanchard. He's been a great mentor. I know John Maxwell. We just were on call yesterday with him. Great mentor as well. Great servant heart. Stephen M. R. Covey is great in trust. And I've been very fortunate in getting to know people who have helped us implement. And so after about 6 or 7 years, people said, you need to share what you know. And so that's when we started the Institute. And it was started to share what we learned about implementing servant leadership. So we're not a consulting company. We just want to share what we know and help others
understand.
Okay. Yep. Yep.
So when I think of traditional business leadership, it smacks of, we've always done it this way. How does servant leadership differ from other, say, more traditional styles of leadership?
Well, you know, it's all about motives. And in the positional power world, your motive is, you're here to work for me, and I need to get the most out of you so I can make the most money. In a servant leadership organization, our motive is to help people grow, to inspire and equip. Our definition of servant leadership at Datron is to inspire and equip those we influence. And notice I didn't say those that report to us, because we have people we influence that we don't even know, because people watch how we behave as leaders. They watch what we say, how we say it. They watch what we don't say, when we don't say it. They watch our moods. They watch everything we do. And so we inspire and equip those we influence. And to inspire people, you have to care about people. And there's a saying that I think it was Theodore Roosevelt, I think, that came up with, you know, people really, really don't care. How do you put it? I really don't care about you unless they really know you care about them. And so in the servant leadership world, we care about the person. We're here to serve the person, give them everything they need to be successful, be there and support. And if you know, we're all familiar with an org chart, and the org chart has the CEO at the top. And we tell people, take the org chart and turn it upside down and put the CEO at the bottom. And when the CEO is at the bottom, all the people that he has to serve. Look at all the people they have to serve. If I don't turn that organization chart upside down, I don't have anybody to serve. And, you know, people will say, well, you got shareholders, you got boards. And I go, you know what, how you get the results, you're not going to get results with a board. You're not going to get results with a shareholder. You're going to get results with people.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, and then you'll see the results. And that's the main difference is the motives are different. We share our power. We don't use our power. We share it. We give it away. And what I like to do is have people, if you make fists with both hands and you just squeeze it as hard as you can and you feel that tension, when servant leaders give their power away, they open their hands up and give it away, and that all that tension goes away. And so when you're holding on to that power for your own use, you have this tension. When you give it away, guess what? The world becomes an amazing place because you're giving people a voice in the operation. You're empowering them to go do things and make decisions. And, you know, I'm only as good as the people I have working for me. And I need to hire the best people in the world to do the job. If I don't let them do that job, that's on, right? I'm not here to control people. I'm here to help people be successful.
How does employee communication come into play here, either in your organization or perhaps other organizations that you see as servant leadership cultures?
You know, most companies that are successful in this world, the CEO will talk about the vision, the mission, the purpose, whatever you want to call it, of the organization all the time. They'll talk about the values of the organization. They'll hold people accountable for those values. And I'm not talking about holding people accountable by sitting down and say, listen, you know, if you don't follow this, I'm going to fire you. I'm talking about sitting down and explaining why you do what you do and why the values are so important, and at the same time telling the employee, here's all the great things you do, so I know you can do this, and encourage them to change. And so, you know, our motive in going into conversations like that is to add value to the person, not take it away and make them feel bad about themselves, but add value to it.
Right, right.
And so we communicate all the time, mission, purpose. But then the most important thing you can do is give your employees a vehicle to live that purpose and then share the stories of the people that have been impacted by your purpose in your organization. Share the stories of your customers. Share where they've been impacted. In our case, Zimbabwe was great. I went in and worked with the police there. And 6 years after we implemented a new radio system for them, they had the least violent elections in the country's history. And I took that article that appeared in the Times here, and I said, this is why we do what we do. You guys have created the least violent elections in the country's history by giving them great communications so they can add people and not take value away. Those stories change lives. And when you share those stories over and over again, and let people see what they're doing and how they impact the world, guess what? They're going to want to do more. And so you have to continually, in my position, talk about mission, purpose, value, stories. And
speaking
stories,
of stories,
stories
are stories. Can you give us an example of a company that is practicing servant leadership and you think doing it very well? I think, you know, there's a lot of people out there that may be looking for their next best culture to fit into, their next career move, you know,
well,
ideas around that.
Yeah, off the top of my head, Kindred Hospital's great, Southwest Airlines great, ServiceMasters, FedEx, Popeye's Chicken, what Cheryl Batchelder did with Popeye's Chicken is amazing. I love John Maxwell Companies, Ken Blanchard's, Frank and Covey. But if I could share one story, it would be Kindred. And here's the difference that servant leadership makes in their organization. Because they usually deal with people in the last season of their life. And there was a patient that came in, a father, who didn't look like he was going to make it. And his daughter was going to get married. And one of the folks that worked for Kindred picked up on this and said, you know what, I want to make sure you get to your daughter's wedding. So she asked the family to bring in the shoes that he was supposed to wear to the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Every day she put those shoes on his feet and put the image in the mind that he was going to be walking down the aisle with his daughter. He was going to get better. Now, there's no physical support there. There's emotional support. But she knew enough to help him see that in his mind, and guess what happened? He made it to the wedding,
mm-hmm.
walked down the aisle with his daughter.
That's amazing.
Leader, we help people get to where they want to be. And a lot of times it has nothing to do with making money in the company. But I will tell you, that family was impacted by that organization. They're never going to forget what that person did to them. And they're going to remember that company name.
Yeah.
They'll pass it on and tell that story forever. And I love telling the story because people go, okay, what does Kindred do? And I tell them, but they're going to remember that name.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of the same, you know, they did a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry, Megan.
No. I was just going to say, you know, when you're doing hiring of prospective employees, what qualities are you looking for in new talent these days? Like what do you think?
As CEO, I spend most of my time recruiting for leaders. And what we learned over the years was not to look for competence first. We learned to look for character first. And what we learned is if you hire a leader that has character flaws and those flaws can't be changed, it's very difficult to change those character flaws, that leader is going to do more damage in your organization. It's going to take you longer to turn that organization back around. So what we do is we spend more time looking at the character of the leader, asking them what they believe in servant leader in leadership. Have they ever heard of servant leadership? Do they have a heart to help people? We ask them, you know, how do you handle employees who aren't performing that have performed in the past, and sit back and listen to their stories. But I think the thing that I look for the most is I look for that leader who comes in talking about themselves and not talking about the people that work for them. And when I find a leader that all they want to do is talk about themselves, guess what? That person's all about themselves. And we had a software manager once interview with us, and he came in my office at 6 one day, and at the end of the interview process, he said, man, I'm tired. His tie was off to the side. He's tired. He says, all you guys want to do is talk about leadership. He says, I want to talk about myself, but every time I do, you guys change the subject. And that told me the heart of that. And he didn't hire him. He would not have been happy here.
Well, that's the other piece of it, right? So you're doing people a great service as well.
We
are. Honestly, it's a two-way street, right? Are you doing any assessments beyond just asking these questions?
There are times when we'll look at assessments for leaders. We'd use predictive index. We've used a model that used to be out there, and it's not so much available, PX12. But, you know, what we use the predictive index for is what we love about that is it shows us what the person believes they are, and then it also shows them what they believe they think they need to be accepted. And when there's too big of a difference between those two, we know it's going to take more training. The closer those two are together, where the leader's comfortable about being themselves and being transparent in front of people and being honest, we know they're going to be a lot happier here. Because that's one of the things we demand of our leaders is you've got to be transparent. When you mess up, you need to say, hey, listen, I made a mistake. I'm the person that says, hey, I didn't do this right. I need to apologize for my actions. And so that's what we look for. And if there's someone who is all about themselves and they're more concerned about how they need to look than being comfortable in their own shoes, and more than likely they're going to be happier somewhere else where they would be accepted for that of belief in themselves. And I love what Ken Blanchard says, is when you have people like that working for you, just be happy to share them with the competition. You know, if you're not happy with your values, mission, purpose, share them with the competition. They'll probably be happy there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How do you what types of offerings do you have on the learning and training front? as a servant leadership culture? How does that look for employees?
Yeah, we do a combination of things for our leaders, and we have the servant leadership training that we developed. And I will tell you, when you make the decision to develop your own training, it's a huge investment in time and money. And we ended up spending a lot of money developing this.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a 45-hour course people go through in 15-hour increments of modules. And it took us about 2 years to put everybody through that training. So when you start down that path, it's important. But we have a combination of things. We like to train people about who we are and why we do what we do, so they understand the Datron way. We like to have ideas from outside the company. So we just ask people to get familiar with who we are and then bring new ideas to the table. But we also want them to go to outside conferences and go to outside training, because we believe that getting exposed outside the company is just as important as being exposed to just what's inside the company. And the combination of those three things is what really helps. And we believe in education. So if you want to advance yourself in education, we'll support you with that. But we know education, experience, when you combine those two and apply your heart to it, that's our definition of servant leadership. And that's when things really start to happen in your organization. You can't do it alone with education. You can't do it alone with experience. And you certainly can't do it without your heart.
Let's say a company's been stuck in the past and conducted business in an old school way, which I know there's several of those out there still. How can someone in, say, middle or upper level management change his or her style to a servant leadership model and still survive in these disruptive times?
You know, it's all about behavior. How do you want to behave as an individual? And do you want to live your own values? And what I mean by that is, I don't think any organization is going to fire you for being honest with the people you work with the closest. Or if you help people succeed, a company's not going to come back and say, "Wow, you know what happened?" I was on the phone earlier today with a group of leaders, and one of them works for a large software company, and his group within that large software company is growing faster than any other group in the company. And it's because they implemented servant leadership 3 or 4 years ago. And they didn't do it corporate-wide. They didn't wait for the corporate group to idea. They said, "Hey, we want to run our group this way." When you that, you can start it in a department. You can do it in a group. You can do whatever group you're part of. Start it within that group and say, "Hey, I'm going to act differently." And then that what's going to spread. And then it spreads some more, and then it spreads some more. And sometimes we have to help people understand who they are. We had one company that we went in, and they were a little concerned about the behavior of building trust. They didn't think the corporate group would allow them to build trust in the company. And so we looked at their mission and purpose statement. And in their mission and purpose statement, they said they wanted to be the most trusted supplier of a certain type of equipment in the world. I said, "Guys, it's in your purpose statement." They want to be the most trusted supplier in the world. Why do you think they don't want to have trust in the organization? And I said, "I guarantee you guys start in your small group of 10, 15, or 20 people, and you build trust in that small group, then it's going to catch fire, and at some point the fire spreads so fast you can't stop it."
And I like that idea, Art. I mean, that sounds realistic to me, because there's a part of me that's like, is this really, like, too good to be true? You know, I'm going to play devil's advocate a little bit with you, right? Like, this is good. We're in the holiday season. Everybody wants to feel better about their culture. But really, I love the idea of anyone can do it. Start small. You don't need executive buy-in to start something like this, right? Hey, listen, we're down to about 60 seconds left, Art. In closing, what questions should a person ask then if somebody's shopping around for a new employer or a new culture? What questions can they ask to determine if it's a servant leadership company?
Ask them about their values. Ask them about their mission, their purpose, whatever they call it. Ask them about why they do what they do. Ask them if they have any stories about their customers. Ask them about what's important in their leader behaviors in the company and how they deal with people who violate their values.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
find
that's
out
huge,
if the values
by the way.
On the wall, or are they real? Do they live it? And, you know, it's about trying to find out what's in their heart. And the best way to do that, I think, is if you have a great mission and purpose that's hanging on your wall, do you live it? And if you do, how do you live it? And and ask about that, and then sit back and listen. And then if you feel like you're just getting a corporate answer or they don't want to answer the question, then you've got to make up your mind. Do I want to continue down this path and take the risk, or do I want to give another company the higher position in my priority of who I want to work for? But you ask questions, type of company they are, why they do what they do, their values, are they real, their purpose, and then their stories. And it's okay for you to ask them, why should I want to come to work for you?
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, it's all about behaviors. I've always followed those behaviors. Art Barter, CEO of Servant Leadership Institute. It's been awesome talking to you today. Thank you for all you're doing. You're an amazing person, and this has been a lot of fun. And let's continue this conversation over on Twitter.
Yeah, Megan, thank you so much for having me. I loved it. I will let your listeners know that when you change how you lead at work, it's going to impact the people you love the most around you. And my biggest transformation occurred with my family. And when your family sees that you will give them unconditional love and care, and it's for real, your life will change. And that change for me is worth every second of investment in changing the way I lead at work. That's been my biggest takeaway for me personally, is letting my children know that I'm going to love them unconditionally. It doesn't matter what they do. It's not going to change how much I love them. And so for me, it's changed my life, not just my work life, my career. It's changed my life in its entirety.
Art, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate it. Look forward to